How are we all doing? Wonderful. Isn't God good? God is good. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Today I want to talk about live blessed. So we're going to crack straight on with it. And we are going to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Will you read along with me? It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.'" Live blessed. I don't know if you look at your life right now and feel like you are living the blessed life. That phrase, the blessed life, has become a bit of a slogan, perhaps, of some people in this generation. On social media, you can tag your posts, and that tag groups the photos together. So if you wanted to look for photos of families, you could see photos of families. If you were into cars, you could see photos of cars. And people have put this hashtag of blessed, or the blessed life. And they split into three categories. They are weddings. So, you know, you have a nice picture of the bride and the groom, and they're looking lovingly into each other's eyes. And then you slide across, and there might be a picture of a nice champagne flute or something to do with weddings. Then the next one, the next sort of category is holidays. So you have a nice picture of people on the beach, people hanging out, having fun, having nice meals. And then the other one is Bible verses. The thing about all three of those, they are all events. They are all events. So, wedding is just an event. Marriage is for life. Your holiday is an event, but then you've got to go back to work. And a Bible verse is great. It's a promise of God. It's the word of God. But unless you apply it to your life, it's just something you've read. And it's easy to say that you are blessed when things are going well. It's blessed to say, it's easy to say you are blessed when you're living your highlight. And in fact, social media is all about highlights, isn't it? People don't post their lowlights. People don't post the fact that they just got a bill through the post, or the fact that they stubbed their toe that morning, or the fact that they gained 50 pounds, or whatever. That you don't post those things, you post your highlights. But what I want to encourage us to do today is, if we take the verses that we've just listened to, we can say we live blessed even in those tough times, even when we're going through the grind, even when life is tough, you can still declare, "I am blessed." But what does it mean to be blessed? Well, in these verses, Jesus said it over and over again. Blessed are. Blessed are. So what does that word blessed mean? Well, if you've ever seen the Amplified Bible, and I encourage you to go and read it because it's a really helpful translation, because it expounds the word, expands it, and explains it in more detail. So this is what it says in the Amplified Bible. It says, blessed, and then in brackets it says, happy, to be envied. Now, normally we don't talk about envy as being a positive thing, but it's just that idea that people will look at you and go, I want what they've got. To be spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. I want to live blessed. I want to live happy. I want to live a life that I can feel proud of. I want to live a life where I'm spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of what is going on the outside. Happiness is such a difficult way of measuring life because it's a thermometer of what's going on. It's not the thermostat. And we want to be people who set the thermostat in our lives, who set the direction and the course that we are going on. And then the Bible tells us that good things will happen when we set ourselves on the right course. Do you believe that God wants you to be happy? It's a controversial subject. People, oh no, God doesn't want you happy. He wants you to do God's will, and he wants you to do this, and he wants you to do that. Ultimately, I believe God does want you to be happy. In the same way that as a parent, I want my children to be happy. But what does happiness look like? But he said it's not a great measure. So what does it look like? I want my children to be happy, but they might come to me and ask for things that I know ultimately won't make them happy. If I give them sweets all the time, I know my kids are a bit grown up now and that sort of thing doesn't happen so much. But when they were younger, if I gave them sweets all the time, it might make them happy for a moment, but ultimately I know that I'd have to deal with the sugar rush afterwards. What I want for my kids is for them to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Because we know a good education, a good relationship with God and others, and a good relationship with themselves gives them a really great chance of being happy. And you know, in the Bible, the word joy and the word God is joined together 56 times. But the world will tell you the opposite. The world will tell you, blessed are the rich, the famous, blessed are those with friends and family, blessed are the proud, blessed are the selfish. Everything we have just read in Matthew chapter 5 contradicts what the world says. Most people would say, oh, if only I had this or that, then I'd be happy. Then I'd be blessed. If only I owned this, then I'd be really happy. If only I lived there, then I would be really happy. If only I could marry that guy, or if only I hadn't married that guy. Even the advice on what makes you happy in the world is so dependent on where you live. According to an article, Austrians say that health is the most important precondition for happiness. Those in Finland say it's kindness. The Greeks opt for honesty. The Dutch say beauty and handsomeness. The British, apparently, claim it's sense of humor. I don't know whether we agree with that, but probably. And the Italians, the Japanese, and the Americans all agree that money is no guarantee of happiness, but it sure helps. What are you chasing today? What are you chasing today? Are you chasing the blessed life? And if so, what does that look like for you? Because in this In these verses that we just read, Jesus makes a statement. He's not saying a question. Blessed are. Blessed are. True happiness comes from following what it says in here. Yeah. If you do what it says in here, then yes, you're still going to go through hard times. You're still going to go through tough times. In fact, in here promises that you will perhaps have more tough times because you're following this. But you will live blessed. True happiness comes from holiness. True happiness comes from doing things the way, doing things God's way. So what is that? Well, we've already said it's going to contradict what the world says. The first one in verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now that doesn't necessarily refer to financially poor, but rather about that sense that you don't have it all. Especially when it comes to God. You know, between us and God, we are spiritually bankrupt. We can't do anything to earn God's favor. We can't do anything to earn his forgiveness. God has done it all. God has done it all. And he chooses to have a relationship with us. Blessed are those who realize how poor they are in relation to God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is God's rule and reign. Does God's rule and reign happen in your heart? Are you living it out in your home? Because that is what the kingdom of heaven is. It says, blessed are those who mourn. Again, this doesn't refer so much to physical loss, but spiritual loss. Do you mourn for your sinful state? Do you look at your life and say, I'm far from God and I want to be close to him? Because it's, I think lots of people would say that they are far from God. But are you bothered about it? Are you bothered about the sin in your life? Are you fighting to try and live more and more holy, more and more righteous, the way that God wants you to live? Blessed are those who realize that they have lost something. It's that feeling of messing up and realizing that you have missed out on a relationship, you've missed out on an opportunity, you've missed out on your reputation, or whatever it is. We've all been there, we've all messed up, and it's that sense of loss. But blessed are those who mourn. Why? Because they will be comforted. The great news of the gospel is that Jesus has made it possible for you to be comforted, supported, and given peace. Even when it makes no sense, that your mistakes, which may have cost you greatly, do not have to define you, because you have a hope and a future in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. It then says, blessed are the meek. The idea of the meek, we often think about meek as being quite a weak thing. Meek equals weak, but it doesn't. That is not the meaning of the word meek or meekness. Meek means power under control. A great picture of meekness is a dad playing with his kid or play fighting with his kid. Because the dad could crush the kid at any second. He could win that fight easily. But of course he doesn't. He's got the power, but he's got it under control. That is what it means to be meek. It's a call to be God's gentlemen and God's gentlewomen. How do you use your power? How do you use your power? Maybe you're thinking today, I don't have any power. I'm just me. Well, what about your words? You know, the Bible tells us that your words are really powerful. Your words have the opportunity to bring life or to bring death into a situation. What words are you bringing? What about your presence? Where you go, the attitude that you have when you are there. You know, you being here right now or you watching online, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. You might think people don't notice you. They notice you. And you're making a difference. What about the power of your actions? What about the power of the decisions that you make with your money? All of these add up to, if you do it in the right way, if you do it under control, then you are blessed. For you will inherit the earth. The first two talk about being comforted and inheriting the kingdom of heaven. This one talks about inheriting the earth. You know, growing in respect and reputation with people around you, that's what God wants for you. He wants you to be a light in your workplace. He wants you to be a light in your family. And in order to do that, you've got to grow in reputation. You've got to grow in responsibility. You've got to grow in power. This is what Jesus did. In Luke 2, 52, it says that he grew in favor with God and with man. So how are you using your power today? If you use it in the right way, you can live blessed. The next verse says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. How much do you care about the things of God? Do you hunger and thirst for them? You know, that idea of hunger and thirsty. Psalm 42 says that as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. It's that same idea of longing for the things of God. Caring about things are done in the way that God will happen. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah. Do you hunger and thirst for his righteousness? The promise here is that you will be filled. Maybe today you're feeling like you're living an empty life. There is no greater calling than to do the will of your heavenly Father. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And if we're doing God's will, then his kingdom will be done. And again, this is what Jesus did. He fed people. He healed people. He empowered people. He brought light into darkness. People left Jesus changed. How do people leave us? Do they leave us feeling blessed? Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. Yeah. The next verse says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Throughout the Bible, we see the spiritual concept of reaping and sowing. It's mentioned in Galatians. It says that God cannot be mocked. You will reap what you sow. And Jesus says in Matthew 7 and in Matthew 6, he talks about judge and be judged, and he talks about forgive and you will be forgiven. We live in a world that doesn't have mercy. We live in a world that wants to cut people off the first time they make a mistake. People get what they deserve. But who is the judge? Who is the judge? Most people think that their judgment is correct, but the nature of the gospel is that we don't get what we deserve. And we get what we don't deserve. That's mercy and grace. Mercy means you do not get what you deserve. And grace means you're given things that you really don't deserve. Bless are the people who show that same mercy and grace to others that God has shown them. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The problems in our society are all issues of the heart. No matter what the challenge, it comes down to people's actions to solve them. And it's out of the overflow of the heart that people act. That's what it says in Matthew 15. In Matthew 12, it tells us that either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart? What are you feeding your heart? What are you confessing with your mouth? Pure in the heart, for they will see God. Who wants to see God? Guard your heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. I don't know if you've watched those movies where there's like a father figure, but he's not really the father. And he looks at somebody and he says, I wish you were my son. Or if I could have dreamed up a son, it would be you. In fact, I have that on a plaque, and I have it about my son. It says, if I could dream up a son, it would have been you. And that same idea comes into this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. The relationship is not father-son as in a relationship one. It's one where you are showing the characteristics of the Father when you bring peace into situations. Are you someone who's a whirlwind? Do you walk into situations and make them explode? Or are you someone who comes in and calms things down? Are you someone who comes in and makes peace with the situation? I love the word peace in the Bible, because the word peace, and this is what the children are looking at today, the word peace means complete and whole. It's the opposite of going to pieces. It's bringing wholeness together. Do you bring things together, or do you tear them apart? Blessed are those people who make peace, for they are acting like a son of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs, again, is the kingdom of heaven. We face persecution all the time in life. I said at the start, you're guaranteed to have hard times. Whether you're Christian or not, if you are a Christian, you'll probably face more harsh times. So you're going to face harsh times, but why are you facing them? Are you facing them because you're doing the right thing? Are you doing them because you're living out what the Bible says? Are you trying to hunger and thirst to do the right thing, no matter what people say? I'm going to live to please God. I want to challenge you today. As we look at these verses, what are you living for? Do you have these markers in your life? Are you realizing your need for God? Whose priorities are you living for? Do you realize your spiritual emptiness without Him? That you need God every single day? Are you sorry for your sin on a daily basis? How are you using your power? Are you fighting for the things of God? Do you make sure that people get what they deserve? Or are you making sure that you are showing mercy and grace to people? Are you guarding your heart? Or are you bringing peace and causing trouble? Sorry, say that again. Are you guarding your heart? Are you bringing peace or causing trouble? What are the challenges do you find in life? Is it for doing the right thing, or is it for doing the God thing? The final verse says, blessed because of Jesus. You're blessed because you're persecuted because of Jesus. Great will be your reward in heaven. I want to tell you today, there is nothing more important than your relationship with God. Right. Wherever you stand today, I want to encourage you. If you want to live the blessed life, the first starting point is your relationship with Him. Yeah. Maybe today, you don't have a relationship with Him. I want to tell you today, encourage you today. Today can be the start of a new relationship with Him. Maybe today you have felt far from Him. I want to encourage you that today can be the start of a new relationship with Him. From this day forward, forgetting what has happened in the past. Because there is nothing that can separate God's love for you. In Romans 8, it tells us that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Is there anything today that could separate you from loving God? Because there is nothing to stop God from loving you. God is right there today. Whose life are you living? Are you trying to live things your way? Or are you going to live a life that promises the blessed life? How does your life measure up to this list? Are you living to please God? And are you making a difference in the world to those around you? We're going to finish by singing a song that says, I see the victory because the battle belongs to the Lord. You know, it's great to preach a sermon like this because it sounds really good. But it's when we hit the challenges of life, when we hit the grind of life, when we hit the battles of life, that is when we either do things our way or we do things God's way. Whose battle are you fighting today? If you want to live a blessed life, fight God's battle. Fight God's battle. Amen.